and vending routes, actually, partnership vending routes. So right now we've kind of expanded our opportunity, and we continue to look to expand moving forward. The program is currently being supported by four field reps. Again, one marketing rep and myself, the program supervisor. All decisions that are made within the program are decisions, and when I say decisions, impactful decisions, decisions to expand the program, to minimize the program, to waive opportunities, to try new things. These are all things that include active participation by the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors. I believe at this time there's seven regular members on the committee and two alternates. And we do a good job with that. I think I've been with the agency 16, 17 years. My whole career has been in the business enterprise program. So I do speak with confidence when I say we do a good job with maintaining that communication amongst the administration as well as the committee. We've done a lot of good things since COVID. We continue to explore good opportunities and options, which essentially we hope will allow for future expansion of our program, which essentially could, you know, offer opportunities again through VR at some point. We currently have an active referral from VR in which we're working with for one of our existing locations. In addition to that, I wanted to kind of put a spotlight on one of our operators who can kind of speak from their point of view as to their thoughts of our program. Brandy Altergott, who is a member of this committee, but also a member of the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors, is a good person I asked to speak on behalf of the program, because I think she truly defines success and what we're looking for as an operator. Brandy, at one point, operated three major locations. She was the operator at Manchester Community College, Rocky Neck Concession State Park, as well as Gillette Castle. And she's really a hustler. She understands business. She's motivated. She's vocal. And she's everything that essentially we're looking for, I'm in particular looking for in trying to expand this program and kind of pick it up from the effects of COVID, which has, you know, been pretty aggressive to our program and programs throughout the country and, you know, every program, I would say. So we're doing well, and it appears that there's some light at the end of this tunnel. So with that said, I don't want to take up too much time because I am a talker. I will give Brandy the opportunity to speak and then in turn answer any questions, and should Tracy have any questions or any updates, be able to chime in as well. So, Brandy, I give you the floor.
Hello. Obviously, some of you may know me, and probably not. I'm very quiet usually in this committee. I'm not so quiet in the other committee. I've been an active participant in the committee since I joined the program back in 2015. As you said, I ran Gillette Castle for seven seasons. I ran Manchester Community College for 2 years, and I'm still running Rocky Neck Concession Stand and constantly expanding and improving on those things. I think the program has really grown and expanding in the right way since COVID. It really set some of us back and changed the direction in which we were going, and I feel Tyrell and Tracy have really jumped on that with expanding to micro-marts and partnerships and vending routes and so on, really rolling with the punches of COVID, so to speak. I find I've been in the BESBE program since I was a child. I'm legally blind. I have achromatopsia, though I'm colorblind, and I have light sensitivity. And legally blind, and I'm kind of one of the luckier ones, I'd like to say. I have a pretty good range of vision, but the program for me has been very rewarding. I was in a point in my life where I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I've been in management most of my life, and this really spoke to me and really gave me great opportunities to be successful and, again, again, the support that I receive and the uproar that I've caused in some ways has been really, really handled well. And I think there's only positive for the program, and I look forward to us expanding into more state locations and being a present thing for blind operators and others.
Thank you for that success story, and it's good to be the squeaky wheel. Don't worry about that.
This is Carol. I have a question. Tyrell and or Tracy, could one of you speak about some of the opportunities that are on the horizon for blind operators?
Absolutely. I will speak to that. So, you know, one of the key pieces of doing any business and trying to move and look at big picture is to hear the overall call. In addition, I kind of identify the shortfalls in the program and look at things in which we may be able to do better. With one of those, as I mentioned, we operate under the statewide vending contract. Many states do not operate their business enterprise program under a statewide vending contract. Many states operate with a set-aside, which essentially puts a lot of the financial responsibility back on an operator to be able to, in turn, handle their day-to-day business responsibilities. So the great benefit of the statewide contract is that we allow one entity to provide vending machine service to all state, federal, municipal locations. We'll remove federal, state, and municipal. And with that said, during the effects of COVID have obviously affected many operators' finances to some degree. However, the commissions that we receive, and I say we, the program receives from the statewide contract, remain strong, and in turn slightly have increased because we get a percentage of the vending sales, 28% on beverage, 19.5% on snack. And as we all know, prices keep continuously to increase. And so in turn, when that happens and our statewide provider, Pepsi, has to call for an increase, the program receives more money. So looking at our budget and seeing the strength of it and kind of identifying where we now are, as to Brandy's point, where we've pivoted to opportunities in which weren't the same prior to COVID. A lot of these micro market opportunities, which are essentially smaller opportunities from over the counter, we've realized that we were able to potentially, and this is a pilot opportunity that has been proposed to our statewide committee of blind vendors, offer off of the back of the statewide contract 10 vending route opportunities in partnership with the existing statewide vending contractor to see if this is something that is going to be a success, a benefit. There's parameters within this pilot. When looking at the overall figures of this, of the value of our contract, we've realized, you know, many, many towns don't offer commissions in any greater amounts than $5,000. We're in approximately 118 towns. When I say we, the statewide contract supports the vending machines placements are in approximately 118 towns in Connecticut. Out of those 118, and I kid you not, and don't quote me, it's about 86 towns don't offer commissions annually in excess of $10,000. I'll use that number because I know it doesn't exceed $10,000. So it is, although, you know, our financials appear very strong, it's really strong in just maybe 8 or 9 towns that support the program. However, looking at that and understanding that essentially the Randolph Shepherds program and existence is really initiated off of first right opportunity for vending machines, we've looked at the potential opportunity of allowing operators to partner with our statewide contractor to create vending route opportunities essentially, which will give operators minimal risk, financial risk, but give them an opportunity to expand on their existing operations or be able to essentially waive on their current operation and utilize this opportunity should the committee agree to the terms outlined in the proposal as new advanced opportunities. This pilot will be set for a year. We've set a certain budget within the pilot to be able to identify the ability of long-term allowance. You know, the goal is, we look at this as a twofold. One, obviously the benefits directly to an individual and how, you know, offering this could, you know, quickly increase their profitability. But also we want to look at it and see how long we would actually be able to maintain such opportunity, and if there is growth opportunity, future growth beyond the year. So right now we have a pretty descriptive proposal out to the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors outlining this opportunity, and should they agree, which I believe they would, I've kind of gotten some little feedback as to you know, them being pleased with the proposal. You know, should that determination be positive, this could essentially open up 10 additional opportunities within our existing group of individuals who are on the transfer promotion list within our program. And then in turn, we would then look back in a year or now, or so, to see if we can expand this opportunities above and beyond the existing operators in our program. So this is good news. At the moment, it's tentative, and you know, this will be something that will be discussed in the very near future with the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terrell. That was very informative. It's a lot to digest for most of us.
Yeah.
I will say that to the council that over the past few months, I've had a couple conversations with Terrell and a meeting with Terrell and Carol about the program and expanding it and making more opportunities for the blind of Connecticut. And I had tons of questions or comments, but I'm going to refrain because I just found out that this topic will be addressed during the conference in Bethesda, Maryland next month. So after that, I'll be able to have a little bit more formal education and some perhaps unbiased information that will help me sort out, you know, what we can do as a council to help support the vendors and the merchants in Connecticut. So any questions or comments?
This is Brandy Alter. As a committee member for the BEP program and an operator myself, I really feel that we have expanded from when I began to where we are now. We are definitely making strides and right moves in the right direction to expanding the program to provide better opportunities. Like I said, COVID kind of set a lot of us back and made a lot of us have to make choices and changes and not be able to continue with some of the businesses that we really loved and wanted to be a part of. And I feel that we're really definitely, as a committee, and Tyrell and Tracy are constantly looking for outside opportunities of ways to increase our things. We've recently partnered with Southern State University, and that's a big change. It's something that we wouldn't have taken on in the past. And so I really feel we're on the right path to expanding the program and giving viable opportunities to the people that want them and are capable of them as well.
Thank you for that. And so is it fair to say that since Terrell kind of took this supervisory role that things have improved?
I would say so, yes. And not that I did any bad job, but I feel Tyrell is willing to take the chances and take the risk of hearing no. What's the worst? His thought is, what's the worst they're going to say is no. Okay, so they say no. We'll try again with this person. And, you know, I feel he's willing to take those chances that weren't willing to be taken before in the past. Just from fear of rejection that, you know, and we haven't really gotten rejected. We've pretty much gotten everything we've been going after lately.
That's good to hear. And I know the conversation had some pretty, not tense moments, but I had some questions that were really kind of straight to the point, and Terrell was very gracious in answering everything and giving me the information I needed. So Terrell, thank you. It seems like you are also a success story today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys.
And we will, again, this will be addressed because, again, the program is under VR, and although they have their own body and everything else, I think the VR program under VSRC should be knowledgeable what opportunities are being made available to the blind in Connecticut. And again, this will be a topic on the next month's agenda. We'll now go to the Section 7, the BSB report. So I'll turn it over to Director Jenkins and Supervisor Burkhardt if they have any comments or additions to the meeting.
This is Carol. Do you want me to go first, Mary?
Please.
Okay. I just have a few things I wanted to update everyone on, projects that we're working on, not just in VR necessarily, but as an agency. So we're currently looking into upgrading our System 7, which is our electronic case management system. It hasn't been updated in I don't even know how many years, and we aren't hosted or anything. So we're looking at using some VR dollars to upgrade the system and be hosted, so that way our federal reporting will be as accurate as we can be and be up to date with the latest RSA changes, corrections, additions to the federal reports that they put out. We're also in the process of obtaining JOT forms, which is a software that will make our forms accessible to everyone. It also has accessible electronic signatures, so I am super excited about that. As a blind person, there are many forms that are not accessible to me, so I am very excited. It will be a process for both of these first two things I've mentioned, because they are big undertakings, each one of them, and it's going to take a lot of staff time to do all of those fine detail work. So it won't be an immediate, switch flip for these changes, but it's stuff that we're working on and getting close to implementing. I submitted our prior approval for the federal fiscal year 23. Everything that I put in there was approved. In case anybody was wondering, I can go into greater detail if you need to know, but it was all approved, so we should be good there. Staff positions, just to update, I'll start with VR. There are three vacant counselor positions, and one is a technology position, and then VR is also short two clerical positions. And so I know three of the counselor positions, those have closed, and we're going to be working on the interview process and that kind of thing, and we're working on posting the technology position. And the two clerical, the secretary two, those interviews are happening the 30th and 31st. And then the secretary one position that was posted, I do believe it is closed. Don't quote me on that. I don't recall. All these dates run together. And so we'll be working on looking at those applications and scheduling interviews. For adult services, they did interviews for two rehab teacher positions. They had one final candidate, and I'm not sure if that job offer has been made, but for at least one of the two positions, there was a very good, highly qualified candidate. So hopefully there will be a new staff person coming on very soon, and we'll work on reposting the other position. And both of those will have a technology teaching focus for adult services. Children's services is technically fully staffed. However, I am looking at the numbers of children in the state. I think just looking at the past 5 years, 3 to 5 years, we've gotten at least 60 new referrals of blind children. So I'm taking a look to see if we will need an additional TBI and or an O&M. So Catherine Sum and I will be looking into that further. BEP is fully staffed, and I am still working on additional clerical positions for BSB, but I'm working with our fiscal manager to see what funding is left from all those vacant positions and what there is remaining to work with. So that's a brief staff positions update. I'll give a quick general budget update. So we just finished the RSA 17, which is it's a quarterly fiscal report that we do on VR. And we just closed out the federal fiscal year 2021 because we were eligible to carry that over. And so we're currently spending our federal fiscal year 22 dollars, and we did carry those over. So it gets confusing, even though we're in federal fiscal year 23. But we closed out 21, and we ended up giving back about $1 million. And this is, you know, if you think about carrying over the funds during the COVID times, and we are short like six staff in VR. So quite a few staff. So a lot of that has to do with the staff vacancies that we have. So moving forward, you know, hopefully that number will lessen. In adult services, for older individuals who are blind, that federal money, after we pay two staff salaries from that, there's approximately $20,000 left for client services for the older individuals who are blind. And for the budget item, it's called Supplemental Relief for the Blind, I think is what the state budget line item is. After we use some match funds for federal IL Part B, that leaves about, I'll say, $35,000 for client services. And those are the funds that we use to pay for that large print calendar that gets sent out every year to consumers who have an open case. So I don't know if everybody's familiar with that large print calendar. So they're really, I think it might have been Deb Reed who spoke to it earlier. I know the NFB testified to the Appropriations Committee and maybe even the Human Services Committee, subcommittee, to try to get more funding in adult services, because, I mean, it's just unfortunate that there's just not a lot there. For children's services, the last budget report I got about a month ago, we're estimating at the moment about a $380,000 surplus. However, the end of the school year, spring into the school year for kids, is the busiest time, because this is when the teachers are prepping and making sure everything is ready to go for the students in August, because everybody leaves for the summer. So now is the time that we're getting a lot of those requests for technology and things for kids. So I know that surplus number will go down as well. And please stop me if you have any questions along the way. Mary Bergard and I are both attending CSABR and NCSAB conferences in April, just like the SRC chairperson is, so that'll be really good. The main focuses are for both of those RSA related things, so all fiscal federal reporting things. So I hope to learn a whole lot more about those particular things. And that is, I think that's all I have. Mary, I'll defer to you. Did I forget anything or leave anything out unintentionally?
No, it sounds great to me. The only thing that I would add is just that we, you know, in Voc Rehab are starting to see a lot of conferences as well coming in person. So that, just on a positive note, we're sponsoring two that are coming up. One in May, the APSE conference, Association for Persons Support Employment First. And we're supporting the Conference for Individuals Disabilities, which is April 28th. So we're contributing towards sponsorship for both of those. So we have a bunch of staff attending both. First time in person since 2019 for both. So we're thrilled. We have another pre-EDS transition conference coming up in May as well in North Carolina that a couple of our staff are going to. And we just found out about a work summit coming up as well in April that a bunch of our staff are going to. So we're thrilled, you know, because this is kind of our phase two of reopening and getting back into things in person. They're great networking opportunities for our staff, and staff are going, so our counselors are going, so we're excited. And just to clarify the positions, we closed on our bilingual counselor position. That was the first to close, so we'll be hiring, hopefully filling the position based on the applicants for our bilingual, which was previously held by Jeanette Rodriguez, and that will be statewide. And the other two, as Carol said, that just closed on the 20th, are our two transition counselors. Currently, we have none, you know, so we'll be very anxious to hire the two to split the state, and then our rehab teacher will be also posted hopefully soon. We're working on that, which will focus on technology in the northern part of the state. That's to fill Michelle Laramie's previous position as a technologist, so we're excited. So that's it.
This is Carol again, Phil. I'm sorry, I forgot two budget things. So sorry.
Wait, no.
For the budget, I do want to say we did get a maintenance of effort penalty this current federal fiscal year 23, and we'll get another one next year. And that's a maintenance of effort issue. It has to do with non-federal funds for match, and it goes on 2 years ago's numbers. And so it sounds terrible, but it's actually a good thing because it's allowing us to reset our level for our non-federal funds, which is typically state. And so it'll be at a much lower amount, which will make it easier for ADS, which includes BRS and BSBY, to be able to match those federal dollars. And so I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it was approximately $450,000 that we'll get less for federal fiscal year 23. But we did get $250,000 in realignment funds that we were able to match. And I'm not going to get into match and maintenance of effort because it's really complicated. So it doesn't totally offset both of those things, but with being short-staffed and some of those things, it's not going to put us in a bind or anything with our budget. So those are the two things that I left out. I apologize.
Any questions about anything Carol or Mary mentioned? Comments, questions, concerns? Hearing that, I have two questions and a comment. Question, are those calendars also offered to people in Braille, not just large print?
Good question, that's never come up. And I forget the resource. You can get free Braille calendars, and I'm drawing a blank at the moment on the resource where you can get those from. So we typically have not done them in Braille because there's already a free resource. So typically we just have done the large print.
I forgot the second already. Concussion just kicked in. I'll skip my question and comment. Carol, I want to thank you for your leadership since you've been here a short period of time. I've witnessed the change. Like, the ship is getting turned around. It's significant. Having all the job postings is like, wow, things are moving forward. The correspondence I have and communication I have with other clients, other members, staff from your staff, everything's positive. So I just, again, thank you for your leadership, thank you for your constant communications with me. It makes my job easier, because I really didn't know what the job was, because it really wasn't, I think, done the proper way in the past. But again, heartfelt thank you for all you've done for the blind of Connecticut. And Mary, likewise, stepping up over the last year, I'm sure it's challenging. And again, the constant communications that we have allow us to work better as a council. So thank you. Next item, the legislative report. Is Andrew Norton here?
I think he's actually at the Capitol currently. So he actually does have a report. And would it be okay if I have him send an email outlining the legislative update? Because there are some things I think would be important for the SRC to know. And I'll be honest, I will not do it justice if I try to cover it. So it'd be better coming from Andrew.
Yes, he did inform me that he would not be available today. He said that he was going to try and make it, but he is at the Capitol at the moment.
If he's only going to send out the report, is there a way that someone perhaps could read it right now then, if it's not too long?
He has not written it yet. I was asking if it would be okay with the SRC if he could write a report and then email it out, and it could be an appendice or an attachment
to
the minutes. Yeah.
Sure. That's reasonable. Next would be the chairman's report. And I skipped an item of the agenda intentionally, and that was the annual SRC report. I couldn't have gotten it done without Carol and Mary's assistance because I'm not privy to a lot of information. And what I learned after speaking with Andrew in another meeting, the annual report comes from, it's the SRC's annual report.